We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
My guy.
He's an author, New York Times best-selling author. He's an entrepreneur. He is a podcast host. And now he is a model as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Shetty.
A model.
A model.
By the way, Jay Shetty's more than a podcast host. He has one of the top 10 biggest podcasts in the world.
That's right.
Okay. Like, I think that's very important to note, because everybody got a podcast.
That's right.
Okay. Jay Shetty has one of the top 10 biggest podcasts in the world. What is it, number 5, I think?
I think so. That's on Spotify. I think that's what it came out as. But no, thank you for having me, guys. I love being here with you guys. I'm so grateful to be back with you. Congrats on the new studio.
Thank you.
I know it's not new for your viewers, but it's new for me being in here with you. But
thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You're one of the people I always use as a model, man. When people tell me, like, you know, how do I get started in podcasting or broadcasting? I always say you got to be your true, authentic self, and you got to provide something that, you know, may be missing. And you came with healing, you know, conversations about mental health, love, and you filled a very big void in the marketplace, a void that I didn't even think people knew was missing.
Wow, that means a lot coming from you. Mm-hmm. I think whenever you're starting anything, right, it's about finding the space in the market, mm-hmm. and then figuring out what you just said, that authentic part that you can match with that space. And I think for me, I love all the podcasts that exist in the world, and they serve so many different purposes. There's so many that I listen to. But for me, I remember I was at this event, and the event was called Building Meaningful Lives. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady was speaking at the event. And then they were asking questions. And I don't know Tom Brady, and you know, we don't know each other. We've never connected. But I saw a lot of questions being asked to him. And all the questions were about the rings and the games and mm-hmm. the sports. And I could tell that he was trying to talk about meaningful things because the conference was Building Meaningful Lives. And again, I don't know him, so I've never checked this with him. But from my perspective, I felt... my intuition suggested that he wanted to go in a direction that he couldn't go in because everyone just wanted him to talk about sports. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I want to build the platform where someone like him could go in the direction they want to go in. That's like when you came on the show, and you need to come back. We need to have you back on.
I'd love to.
Like, you know, when you came on, it was like, we could go in the direction that you want to talk about that some people don't have the platform to do that for, mm-hmm. you know? So that's where it came from.
You know, we had Kevin Gates up here. He's a rapper, and he has a song called, I think it's called I Can Heal You, you know? And he's talking about, you know, the fact that he feels like he can heal women, mm. right? But just in general, do you think you can heal people?
I can't heal people.
Yeah.
I'm not that powerful.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the power or the capacity to heal people, but I believe the universe does.
Mm-hmm.
I believe energy does. I believe frequency does. And I think that all we're trying to do is introduce people to all of these ideas, concepts, practices, habits, mindsets that they can then
That's
implement.
Right.
I think people taking on that power is too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think taking on that pressure of I'm going to heal you, I'm going to heal people. Wow, I think I would crumble. If I felt that way, I would not last 2 seconds. And mm-hmm. so I have never felt that. And I've always felt that I've been a vessel for my teachers and mentors and guides. I feel that I've been so invested in. A lot of people will say to me like, Jay, you're so young. How did you learn this? And I'll say, I just got lucky. I had mm-hmm. great mentors, great teachers, great guides. And I'm just trying to share what I've learned through me. And yeah, I don't want the pressure of trying to be a savior, mm-hmm. messiah, or a
But you can heal people through your experience, though, because people, you know, I think a lot of times they feel like they're alone. And if you explain your story and tell them how you got through your tough times or whatever that you've been through, it can, like you said, give somebody a roadmap of what they can do.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, for every situation that you try might not work for somebody, you know, but it'll give them a guide to maybe something that can put them on their healing journey.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. But I feel like that is still so much on that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what we've seen, whether it's mental health, whether it's growth, whether it's personal development, so much of the accountability and responsibility is on the receiver of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
My teachers would always give this beautiful example. They'd say, because sometimes, right, I'd go to listen to a talk or you go listen to a podcast and the person who's teaching you is maybe not the best orator. They're not the best communicator. They're not the person who's coming at it with all the, you know, gems and everything else. And my teachers would say to me, if you're sitting in a class like that, that you may think the speaker's at a zero, but that means you need to rise to a 10 to extract greatness from them.
Mm.
Whereas if your speaker's at a 10, you get to coast at a zero and you may extract nothing from them because they just entertained your mind. And so I think as a listener, as a practitioner, we've got to raise our game to extract greatness from who we're listening to and implement it in our lives, if that makes sense.
Does everybody, no. I feel like everybody deserves healing.
Mm.
But does everybody deserve healing?
I would say that let's go around down this thought experiment to answer that question. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking a lot about this. If we could simplify the purpose of life to be to love and be loved.
Mm-hmm.
If we could agree that we think that loving others and being loved by others feels like a meaningful purpose in our lives. Right. What's really interesting about that is that because of how we've been loved growing up, we chase to do things in order to be loved. So we start thinking, well, in order for me to be loved, I need to build a big business. I need to look a certain way. I need to have a certain amount of followers. I need to build a podcast, whatever it may be. So we start doing lots of stuff in order to be loved because we think to love and be loved, we need to do big things. Then what ends up happening is we end up in a space where we realize that doesn't lead to love. I'm not loved more because I have more followers. I'm not loved more because I have more money. I'm not loved more because I have more. Which then begs the question, going to your earlier question, we need to heal that idea. So I think everyone deserves healing
mm-hmm.
because everyone's been misled,
mm-hmm.
whether it's by the system, whether it's by society, whether it's about conditioning. So if you look at the journey as to why everyone deserves healing, it's because everyone started from a purer place or everyone started from a more naive place but got led down a certain path that then requires them to have healing. So I think everyone deserves healing. What do you think, Charlamagne?
I'm seeing you thinking about it deeply. I do. I just hear people say that, you know,
yeah.
and I think what I would tell folks is, you know, that's like you said, that's really not up to you to decide.
Mm.
You know, if a person, regardless of what they've been through, if they decide to go on their healing journey, that's between them and their creator, and that's between them and their trauma. You know, who am I to say that person doesn't deserve healing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I guess the other question too would be, does everybody deserve forgiveness and grace?
Mm. I mean, here's how I like to look at it. Let's pretend that we lived in a world, actually, we don't need to pretend that is the world. Let's live in a world where there is no forgiveness and grace.
Lord have mercy.
Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's see what would that look like. Like, let's do a thought experiment. You have a planet, there's no forgiveness, there's no grace. Mm-hmm. I would struggle to live in that world because I know I need forgiveness and grace, not only from myself, but from the people around me. Mm-hmm. If my wife wasn't forgiving and giving me grace, that would be a really tough relationship. If my mom didn't forgive me and give me grace, that would be a tough relationship. If my boss, if, you know, whatever else in my life, I think we'd actually all be living with more anxiety, more stress, and we'd internalize that lack of forgiveness and project it back onto ourselves, mm-hmm. and that would perpetuate a cycle. By the way, that's kind of where we're at right now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of our lack of capacity for forgiveness and grace for others actually comes because we don't give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, you know, amazing things can happen whereby we literally will, you know, I think, I'm sure you've heard this too, where it's like, I loved you until you did this. I believed in you until you did this. And it's almost like we don't give ourselves a second chance. And because we don't give ourselves a second chance, we don't give others a second chance. Mm-hmm. And I believe that everyone deserves forgiveness and grace if they are willing to choose the path of reformation.
That's right.
If they're willing to go on the path and do the work of saying, I have had some challenges, I've made some mistakes, I'm willing to grow, that's... But sometimes it's a chicken and egg situation, because sometimes for someone to have that reaction, they need to feel that there is an opportunity for forgiveness and grace. So often people are so scared that people won't forgive them that they don't want to admit it, right? Like, let's take a very basic example, like... you know, someone's, let's take something that I think, you know, someone's cheated on their partner. Not an ideal situation, not a great thing. Do we just let that person get away with it? Of course not. But partly that person may be scared of sharing it because they're scared there won't be forgiveness and grace.
That's right.
Now,
or scared to lose.
Yeah. Now they've made a mistake and they should be held accountable regardless, because if they were in a committed relationship. But it's this chicken and egg situation of like, what comes first? And I don't know the answer to that, because mm-hmm. it requires so much from the person who's been hurt. And it's sad because you've already been hurt and now more is required of you. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people feel that way, that they're the one who've been hurt, but they've got to be the bigger person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times with forgiveness, sometimes it's why the person asks for forgiveness or why the person is mm-hmm. sorry, right? Mm-hmm. So like you said, in a cheating situation, right? It's quick and easy for a person to say, okay, I'm sorry,
totally.
Because they got caught.
Totally.
You know, same thing with somebody when they say something wild online, right? Mm-hmm. What the first reason they want to apologize really is they want things to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. But are they really sorry? Did they really understand what
so
they
well
did
said.
And hurt somebody? And I think that's the problem when it comes to forgiving somebody, right? It's easy to say, I forgive you. You slap me in my face and I say, okay, I forgive you. But no, I don't. Mm-hmm. Not until we have the conversation of why you slapped me in the face, yeah. why you said what you said, how did you affect me? And then we can get to that path. But I think a lot of times it's easy for people to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I went to rehab, it's over, right? Mm-hmm. And the world is supposed to open back up. But if you can't explain to me why you did what you did
yeah.
and assure me why it can't happen again, mm-hmm. I can never forgive you. And people will be like,
absolutely.
Well, forgive you means this, that, and the other. No, I don't think about you, but that's my reason of feeling that way.
That's the best. I fully agree with everything you just said. That's mm-hmm. that's what's missing is you said something so subtle and so passive. I want to highlight for everyone, because I'm like, that is it. It's mm-hmm. like, we want to say sorry often because we want things to go back to normal.
Correct.
And that is the mistake. Like, that isn't worthy of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And we need to go deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. You just sat down with First Lady Michelle Obama. Conversation was everywhere. Right. And she expressed how terrified she was about this election year. What was it like hearing that from her? And how do you process that? Does that give you anxiety when you hear that?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought process, because I can't vote in this country. Mm-hmm. I moved here 8 years ago. I have a green card, but I don't have voting rights. And I moved here the year Trump became president in 2016. And so I've had an interesting education in the United States, and I haven't, you know, I didn't grow up learning American history or American politics. So I'm also very uneducated in this, in that space specifically. I think for me, I look at most things as things I can and can't control. And when I think about things that make me anxious on a global scale, I often ask myself, what is the root of that anxiety in my community? So if I'm seeing, whether it's ignorance, whether it's a lack of understanding, whether it's a lack of curiosity, openness, compassion on a global scale, I'm asking myself, where does that exist within me and my friends and my society? And how do I start impacting that? Because that I can control. And so I've been practicing that for a long time, because I feel that there's a lot of things that give me anxiety. Like, there's a lot of things that can stress me out. There's something new in the news every day that can do that.
That's right.
But for me, what's really interesting is saying, okay, where is, like, I read this beautiful quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald a few years back, and it's beautiful. And he said that, I don't have my phone, otherwise I'd read it right. But
what is it? I'll Google it.
Type in two opposites and F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Oh, the two opposing ideas?
Correct. But look for the full quote, because they only quote half of it sometimes. And it's so, and read a longer version of that quote.
I see the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing sides in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. One should, for example, be able to see that things are hopeless yet be determined to make them otherwise.
That, I love that, right? Like, to be able to hold two opposing, this is, I think, the biggest challenge we're facing in the human mind, is that we're not able in our micro world and in a macro world to be able to hold two opposing ideas at the same time, still retain the ability to function. So as F. Scott Fitzgerald said, I should be able to see that everything seems hopeless, yet be determined to make them otherwise. Mm. That to me is where I like to live and where I like to function, is that how can I accept that things are beyond my control, I'm not powerful enough yet, control what I can try to do. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of look at ignorance in my own community, in my own friends group, in our WhatsApp chats, in our text threads. Like, where is that ignorance? Where is that, you know, where are the missing links? And how can I start to impact and influence my friends to be more open-minded, to be more curious, to be better learners, and myself, by the way, too, to question where I'm easy, quick to shut people down. Like, I've noticed that so much in me recently. Like, if I'm judging someone, I've really been asking myself, can I look for that quality in me? Because I really believe that the reason I'm judging it and I'm so triggered by it is because I know it's inside myself. Mm-hmm. And my judgment is just a reflection of me not introspecting enough. So to me, I try and bring down global events into the personal and intimate, because otherwise it's so chaotic and so hard to deal with.
I believe some people's judgment is a reflection of the masses, right? And that's my biggest thing I have with social media. And sometimes when people talk about their healing journey or some of the things that they do, I think they look for out without actually doing the necessary work, right? So somebody might see Charlemagne and he's evolved, and he'll explain the ways that he evolved, and somebody might jump on it because they've seen it work for Charlemagne, but it won't work for them because it's not in their heart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times with social media and what you said about the masses, I think people follow a fake way of doing it to pray for healing instead of trying to find their own journey. And I think that's the difficult part. And I try to tell people, and I think, you know, with some of the things that you're doing, you're trying to find your own healing journey.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You give them an example with yours. Charlemagne gives an example of his. I give an example of mine. But a lot of times people will try to follow that, and it doesn't open up their own mind to some of their other thoughts.
Yeah. That's so powerful. And I think the beautiful thing about anyone who has gone on a healing journey realizes how unique yet similar it is. Like, if we sat down and we talked about our healing journeys, all three of us, we'd find so many similarities yet so many differences. And that's the beauty of it, that when you go down that path. And yeah, I would encourage everyone to not try and imitate. It's almost like, you know, a few years ago, people's morning routines became really popular. And all of a sudden, everyone's trying to do the Einstein morning routine or whatever it may be. And it's like, you're not going to become that person by doing their morning routine. That's a part of who they are. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is that there's an essence, there's a heart there that you're totally missing out on. So yeah, I fully agree. You can't imitate someone's morning routine and suddenly become.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
I like what you said too. Can you really find truth in this world of extremes? Because it feels like everybody got to pick a side.
Yeah.
And like we talked about it before you came in, like I can sit down and have a conversation with somebody and people will look at that as an endorsement.
Yeah,
but no,
yeah,
we're just having a conversation, because there's got to be some nuance in all of this, right? Like I got a spiritual, you know, a leader, one of my spiritual teachers, Sluta Yadi, she says there's no such thing as right and wrong in humans. Do you believe that?
There's no such thing as right and wrong. I mean, you could see that from the, I guess it depends on what level of humanity you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like legal, there's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I guess morally, there's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I guess thought-wise or perception-wise, then you get into muddier territory, because what is right and wrong?
Yeah.
Because everyone's looking at everything. If you just think about the multiple lenses that we've had. It's like, if you imagine that every life experience you've had is a crack in the mirror, right? The parents you had, the town you grew up in, the friends you had growing up, the school you went to, your first job, your first love, your first heartbreak. Imagine all of those are cracks in a mirror. Now, every time you're looking in that mirror, imagine how many different reflections and distorted reflections you're seeing. Mm-hmm. We're basically dealing with that with 8 billion people. So the amount of distortion in perception, reflection, perspective is so variegated that how can any one of us know what the truth is or what right That's and right. wrong is? Because the options are unlimited. Like, you would need an algorithm, and even an algorithm couldn't compute the depths of the trauma, the impact, the experience. Like, it would require a God brain mm-hmm. in order to formulate and contextualize all of those experiences. So I do think there was this, I don't know where it's from, but I remember seeing it in Cobra Kai of all places, but there was this great line that said, there's always three sides to every story, yours, mine, and the truth.
That's right.
But I think the challenge is that the truth part is not, we're not even...
It's objective.
It's objective, but mm-hmm. I don't even think what you just said rightly is, in order then, if we're saying there's three sides to every story, but we're only living on one side, the only way to get to the middle ground, and by the way, the middle ground has been a philosophical standpoint. The Buddha talked about the middle path. We talk about living a balanced life. We talk about finding the core, the heart, the center. If you look at all philosophical, spiritual well-being traditions, it's always about the middle, the heart, the center, the core. Yet the only way to get to the middle is by looking at both extremes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get to the middle by being on any of one side of any thought. And so I think what you just said, Charlamagne, and what you do here so beautifully is I love, and I try and do this too, to have conversations that people don't expect me to have with people that people may be confused as to why I'm sitting down with them in order to understand the cracks of the mirror. That's what I'm fascinated by. I'm fascinated by the cracks on the mirror, because how they got to how they think is even more important to me than how they think. Word. Because if we understand how someone got to how they think, we can help save the future, because we can make sure that their experiences are slightly more variegated, diverse, supported mm-hmm. in order to have healthier ideas in the future.
Do you feel like most people are just performing?
What do you mean by that?
Because sometimes when you sit down with these people, you realize like, oh, this is just an act. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just doing this because of what can come from it. So it's like when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I try to remove all of that.
Yeah.
And get
yeah.
to what you just said. Like, yeah. And you usually get to that by seeing how a person got to where they are. And then that's when you realize like, oh, this isn't.
Yeah. I think it's hard right now. Like, there's this meme on social media that I love, and it's all text, and it says, society says, be yourself. And then society says, no, not like that. Right? And it's brilliant, right? And so what I've realized is society says, I want to know what you feel. And then it goes, but if you, let me tell you that again. What society says, I want to know what you feel. But then if what you feel doesn't make me feel good, then I don't know what you want to feel. Mm-hmm. And so I think people have actually kind of regressed into performing because they're so scared of being judged for every word they say. And then there's the side of people performing because they think that they have to abide by certain rules, or they have to, you know, sit with a particular thought process or whatever it may be. But I think in our attempt to be more authentic as a society, we've actually started blocking authenticity, because if your authenticity doesn't make me feel good, then I'm rejecting it. And that doesn't actually make That's sense. Real. Like, you know, it doesn't, you can't, if you say something that I don't like, I can say I don't like it, but I can't tell you that that's wrong.
Yeah, don't say I'm real until I say something that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
But it can't be that way. I should still be real, right? Yeah. Like, come on.
But is it all in interpretation, right? Because like, you've been married 8 years. Sometimes when you get into a argument or, you know, a disagreement with your wife, it might not be right or wrong. It might be how you interpret things, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, if your wife says something, you'd be like, you had an attitude, and it makes you upset. But really, she didn't have an attitude. So I think a lot of what we see in this world is interpretation.
Absolutely. I try and that's why I think the self-interpretation point is so much more important. I think we get so lost in social media. We've mentioned it here. And by the way, obviously, I love social media. Without it, I wouldn't even have had a career. I wouldn't be here today. So I'm very grateful to social media. But the point is that I think we get so lost in other people's marriages, other people's careers, mm-hmm. other people's failures, that we don't make the time to reflect on our own. Mm-hmm. So when I find myself being agitated with my wife or being irritated with my wife, I look back as to why did I behave that way? Mm-hmm. And 99% of the time, it's because I have a certain fear. I have a certain insecurity. Sometimes my fear is actually a positive fear of, let's say my wife asks me a really important question, but I'm about to walk into this interview. My agitated, non-mindful response is going to be, I haven't got time for this right now. I'll talk to you later. Right? Which is the worst thing to say. But I've been there. I'm just going to put my hand out.
We've all been.
I've done that, right? Like I've said, hey, I haven't got time for this right now.
I would never say that, but you got more balls than I have. I ain't got time for this
right now. I've been honest and said, I've said that in the past, right? I've said that before, and I feel terrible for saying that. Now, when I look back at that, and I've reflected on that, and my wife's very forgiving and kind, and so she tolerates me deeply, and I appreciate her for that. Mm-hmm. But when I reflect on having made that mistake, the real reason is twofold. One is, it's not that I haven't got time for it. I actually really care about her, and I want to give her a really good answer. I just am scared that I won't be able to do that in 30 seconds. And so now I'm just trying to pass it off because I don't want to take on the
correct
fear.
Yep.
So there's actually a well-intentioned thing there. It's not that I actually think I'm too busy. And then sometimes I'm like, well, my life's more important. Like I remember this time my wife would come up to me and say, I've had a really bad day. And I'd say, tell me about it. I've had a really bad week. And I was using her pain.
You're trumping her pain.
Exactly. I was using her pain to validate my pain.
Correct.
Because I haven't spent time validating my pain in private. Because I haven't taken that time to acknowledge and recognize that I'm having a challenging week. I'm now using and taking her moment of connecting with her partner to make it about me. And so again, when I reflect on that, why am I doing that? It's because I haven't taken time for myself. And I think that's where I want people to live more, because we could actually heal so many of our daily irritations and agitations simply by going, got it. I'm scared. I'm being insecure, and I'm not validating my own pain.
How many times do you, how often have you broken your own 8 rules of love?
Oh, every day. Every day, every day, man. Like every day. I don't think it's, you know, it goes back to that. How can I heal someone? I'm still healing myself. Mm-hmm. And it goes to the reality of, and I think we all know this at this table, everything in life is a process, mm-hmm. right? Like, even if you took something really tangible, like we say this person is rich, we talk about them as if they can never lose it mm-hmm. and that it will always be theirs. That's actually not true. People could lose all their money. We talk about someone being famous. You could lose that. So in the same way, healing, progress, development, mm-hmm. you can lose it. And I think we've got so lost in that destination addiction, the belief that you get to a point from which there is no return. And I think that destination addiction is really misleading in the wellness space, because we feel like, oh, now I'm healed. And I think it comes from this idea of, if you think about it, right? Social media is full of before and after pictures. This is where I used to be. Look at where I am now, right? And it's always like saying, I used to be in a bad place. Now I'm in a great place.
No process, though.
No process. Mm-hmm. And linear, when the real life is this every day.
That's right.
It's just cyclical. And I think we've made our minds feel that journeys are linear. It's like A to B, like going from LA to New York or New York to LA, it's linear. But we know that life is so much more cyclical. And so, yes, I've broken the 8 rules of love every day, every week of my life.
One of the things you say, man, that I think is so important that I want people to really get from this, if they don't get nothing else from this conversation, is there's no manual for any of this. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be the perfect husband. You're not going to be the perfect father. I spend so much time simply apologizing to my wife and apologizing to my kids mm-hmm. because I don't ever want them to think that I'm trying to come off as some perfect human who never gets anything wrong, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I think that's very important to do, and just being present. Like when your wife calls you, your child calls you, even if you in that moment you weren't present, as soon as I'm done whatever I'm doing, I'm so sorry that, you know, I had to do that, but I had to go do X, Y, and Z in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing about the point you just made, and I hope this is what someone takes away from this as well, is I think a lot of us in our minds, when we do introspect, we're quite heavy and harsh on ourselves. I think a lot of people are walking around with a internal, inner critical voice that is completely making them feel terrible. And so when anyone says something externally, it's worse. And I just want to remind people that you can't hate yourself into change. Mm-hmm. Like you can't guilt yourself Jesus into Christ. Growth. Jesus. You can't blame yourself mm-hmm. into a breakthrough. When was the last time you changed who you were because someone hated you? Never. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you supported someone you hate deeply? So if you're hating, blaming, guilting yourself, it may get you started, but it won't get you there. And so anyone who's giving themselves a hard time, I'm not saying to give yourself an easy time, but that inner grace, that inner forgiveness is such an important part of you actually becoming better. So you're not doing it because you're trying to take it easy on yourself. You're doing it because it's going to let you get through the hard times.
The most important thing, I think, for a lot of people is back to what you said with forgiveness and grace, right? A lot of things that we do is learned behavior, right? Why do people pop their children? Usually because they got popped as a child. Mm-hmm. You know, why do people talk the way that they talk? Usually because their parents talk to them, or their parents did the same thing, or they do that. But a lot of times when you're in the moment, you don't see that, right?
Yeah.
When my dad told me, don't go out, don't do this, don't do that, my first reaction was like, I hate him. My other friends can do it and I can't.
Yeah.
But now as a parent, it's the same thing. Now I understand why he said what he said. But you always pray that you get it before that family member leaves this earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thank God every day that my dad is still here, that I didn't leave being mad at him. And, you know, I try to explain more to my kids because I never want them to feel that way. But I know they must feel the same way when they be like, I can't go to my friend's house for a sleepover. Why? And I know they might be mad because their friends do it. But that grace and forgiveness, we have to understand that a lot of the stuff that we do is learned behavior. Even if it's not right, we have to realize that a lot of the things that we learned and we were taught were fucked up.
Yeah. There's that famous quote you just reminded me of that says, by the time you realize that your parents are right, your kids are telling you that you're wrong. And it's that, mm-hmm. that awkward position that we end up in. But you know what's really interesting about that? I was talking to someone about this at dinner last night, and there's this old story that I heard a while ago, and it's always resonated with me, even with my own childhood, not in particular, but in essence. So the story goes that these two men were interviewed, and one was an alcoholic and the other one had never drunk alcohol, and they were brothers. And they interviewed them, and then they asked the one who drank alcohol and was an alcoholic, he said, why are you an alcoholic? He said, my dad was an alcoholic. And then they asked the other brother, why don't you drink? And he said, my dad was an alcoholic. And so I think a lot of us got an education in what not to do, but we ended up repeating it instead of breaking the cycle. And I feel like in my life, I got a great education in a lot of my areas of life in what not to do and who not to be.
Right.
And I took all those little notes down, and I think that's what's improved my life. So I think if we're constantly waiting for the perfect example and the perfect space and the perfect surroundings and the perfect aunt and uncle and the perfect parent, it's like, we may be waiting forever because no one's perfect.
That's right.
So we almost have to make a list of what not to do, but what not to do.
But also how to. That's why podcasts like On Purpose are so important. That's why podcasts like, you know, Debbie Brown, Deeply Well is so important, because we learn how to, you know, break a lot of these cycles.
Absolutely.
Are you wearing Gap right now?
No. Not right now.
Okay, I'm just asking.
No, because you saw that.
Yeah, I saw the Gap campaign.
I called your model earlier. You did the Gap.
Oh, that's why. That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, yeah.
What, you thought you just thought you was handsome?
That was a laugh. That's what I thought. I was like, all right, DJ MV, I wasn't expecting that from you, but thank you, man. I appreciate it.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements. along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So you and your wife did a holiday gap campaign.
Yeah, yeah. We were just, you know, when we got asked to do that, it was like, we couldn't believe it. We're like, what is this? You know, like, we grew up watching the gap campaigns, like the holiday campaigns especially. And I've said to my wife, any time I get to do any work with her is my favorite thing because I get to hang with her all day. And so that shoot was fun. They made it fun. The creative team was fantastic. Like, it was a good time. Mm-hmm. We walked out of there having had a great day. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then it was surreal because, you know, yeah, definitely never been a model. So
do you ever question yourself when you get approached to do things like that? Because, you know, people think for whatever reason, what it is you do, oh, you shouldn't have ad campaigns. You're supposed to be a guru, do you ever question yourself about doing stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had to sit with that question so much. And here's what I've come out with. One of the reasons I do it is because I don't want to be the guru. I don't want to be that. I'm a normal guy who likes nice things, who is married, who's happily married, who's living in the normal world, who has businesses, like everything. It's like, I want to be that because I think that the putting anyone up on a pedestal, that person will always let you down because it's hard for anyone to live up to that. And so I would rather take myself off of it and normalize it and be good with that. And at the same time, I think I look at it and I go, in my opinion, I'm hoping that someone's going to see that and be reminded of wellness and be reminded of well-being from the perspective of like, oh yeah, Jen Roddy, they do that thing. So I'm hoping that it's actually helping us get the message out there more. And maybe I'm wrong, but I also look at it as things I enjoy doing and things I love doing with my wife. And I live life in that way. And a lot of the opportunities come my way. One of the things that I've really been working on, and this is probably the most thoughtful answer I can give to this, is I've realized that a lot of opportunities I give today, a lot of opportunities I get today, they feel like a high five to my 16-year-old self and my 12-year-old self and even my 5-year-old self. And then there's the more evolved me of today. And so I'm living these two lives, and I think we all are living the life of what our inner child desired and then our evolved today self desires. And I've just found that there are certain opportunities that fulfill it for that inner child that I don't want to abandon. Because what I'm worried about is that if I abandon it, there'll be some more bitterness, some more resentment that will develop, that will grow in the future. And so I want to make sure that I acknowledge the needs of that inner child that maybe weren't met at that age or that stage in my life. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I refer to a lot when I'm trying to make these decisions.
I don't have a problem with it because, you know, we always say stop making stupid people famous. So why not? So why not make the small ones? If the small ones can get the light on them, why not? Because when it amplifies your profile, more people, you know, come in and pay attention.
I appreciate that.
I wanted to ask you too: do you get pushback from people who will watch you sit down with a Michelle Obama or a Jada Pinkett Smith? Why didn't you challenge them on this? Why didn't you challenge them on that?
Yeah, I don't get pushback for not challenging people because I think the questions I ask are challenging in a different way. Mm-hmm. But I think I'll get pushback because someone doesn't like that person.
Yeah.
But what I've found every single time is that when someone actually listens to the episode or watches it on YouTube, if you look at that comment section, it is spectacular. Mm-hmm. Like when someone's actually taken out time out of the day to listen for an hour or watch for an hour, and then you see the comment section, you'll see people having complete, I had people reaching out about both those episodes, the President Biden interview as well that we did earlier last year, and the comments of people who actually listened to it. And by the way, a lot of people were like, hey, I don't agree with this person's politics. Mm-hmm. I'm actually completely on the other side. But I just want you to know that listening to this interview was so enlightening from a human perspective. Thank you for putting it out there. And I respect that approach because I think that's why I do the interview. I don't do the interview for any other reason apart from us looking at the broken mirror and looking back and saying, okay, where can I resonate with the humanity of this individual or where can I relate to this person? So yeah, I think that's generally the pushback, but the comment section, I encourage you on those episodes to go look at the YouTube comment section. It's phenomenal to read what people are getting.
Yeah, because I think your conversation with Jada Pinkett Smith, the clips is what set off the Jada Pinkett hate train. Not because of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you didn't watch the whole conversation in context and you just saw clips, she got attacked for a lot of that.
Yeah. And Jada's a dear friend for me. So it's a tough one because I think any clip about anyone, I had someone say this to me yesterday. They said to me, Jay, they'd met me for the first time and they were like, Jay, you're so much nicer in person. I didn't like you off of your Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fair enough. Like, that's cool. But it's like, it's so hard for me to be all of myself in 30 seconds. And I'm trying my best. You're trying your best. You're trying your best. But it's hard for any of us.
Like, what is there not to like about you on Instagram? You're in the kitchen with your wife.
No.
You got puppies licking your face. Like, what?
No, in the sense of, I think he was just like, you know, I feel like you feel a bit like whatever it was, like whatever his, I don't even know what it was. But I think all of us, if you judged any of us off a 30-second reel, I'm sure all of us would agree it's not who we are, you know? So, and that's why I do stuff with my wife, because I feel I'm most myself when I'm with my wife, because naturally it's the person I spend the most time with. And so, but even with all of us, like, I've got to meet you guys in person a few times now. We were in Cannes with iHeart on you know, for the festival last year together. And I think when you've met people in person, that's the only time you're going to feel like you've got to know them. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone understands. I feel like if someone follows me on Instagram, they understand maybe 10% of who I am. Mm-hmm. If they listen to my podcast, they probably understand 75% of who I am because they're really dialing into who I am. Mm-hmm. If they've read my books and my podcast, they're probably like at that 89%. If they've seen me live, they're at that 95%. Mm-hmm. And then when someone's met me in person, it's 100%. And so I think it's all percentages. And I hope that we all, again, going back to forgiveness and grace, I hope that we can all give each other a bit more benefit of the doubt, because I think it would go a long way for people.
And you officiated Ben and J-Lo's wedding.
Yeah, that was a year and a half ago now.
Were you licensed to do that?
I had to do the online kind of, you know.
Why did they? Why did they?
But I don't think you have to be in Georgia. I don't think you need to be licensed. I don't know what the rules are there. I can't remember.
Why did they pick you though?
So I'd collaborated with Jen for a while. Like, we'd done a bunch of stuff together. Okay, she came on the show a few years ago. We'd had a few great offline conversations. I went and officiated weddings as part of the launch of her last movie on her special. And it was just, I was really grateful for the opportunity. I was, you know, pinching myself as well. And, you know, for me, I love love. Like, I'm a massive lover of love. Mm-hmm. And I'd sent her the book as well. And I think that kind of made it happen too. I'd sent the book, and when it was being written, and she appreciated it, and she wrote me a beautiful testimonial for it, and that kind of led to the wedding as well. And it was like, I felt like I was just trying to make sure I didn't cry. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm that kind of guy who like ugly cries during a wedding and like gets really soppy. And like, you know, she's walking down the aisle, Ben's there, he's tearing up. I'm like, don't cry, dude. You're gonna ruin this. Do not cry. Mm-hmm. And I just had to hold it together just to get through, because I was like, I'm about to ball. So wow. Yeah, it was special. It was an amazing experience.
I know you probably got to run, so I got like one more question for you. Good. You say language has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone. And it has created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone. Could you expound on that?
Yeah, it's a Paul Tillich quote. The writer Paul Tillich shared that. And to me, I extrapolated from his work for my book, because I was realizing that language and the way we use words completely defines how we think about things. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the word loneliness, you think sadness, you think potentially depression, you think negativity.
Of course.
Solitude is spending time alone with yourself, but with strength, with courage, as Paul Tillich says, glory. So what I've realized is we've got to be so careful with the language we use in our minds. Every single word is a seed for either a weed or a flower.
That's right.
And so
that's
every real. Single word that you say is defining. So if I keep saying, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, that's going to impact how I feel. But if I say, I'm in solitude, all of a sudden there's a strength that comes with that. And so I just want to encourage people to recognize that being alone doesn't have to be a weakness. It can be a time of strength and self-awareness and personal growth. But it is about the language that we use with ourselves. And so I would ask everyone to this one activity. Think about the one word that comes to your mind the moment you wake up or the moment you go to sleep. Make that word a word that you want it to be. Don't let the word you go to sleep with, and don't let the word you wake up with, be a word that makes you feel negative, unhealthy, or weak. Because those studies show we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts per day, and 80% of them are negative and 80% of them are repetitive, which means you're having the same negative word or thought repeating. It's not like we're having lots of different thoughts. It's the same thought. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't control 60 to 80,000 thoughts, but you can control two thoughts of the day. So just master the first thought of the day and the last thought of the day and make it a thought and a word that you want it to be.
I wonder when that study was done. I wonder, was it before social media or after? Because I feel like with social media, it's probably triple that.
Yeah, I probably read it. That stat probably I read in the last 3 to 4 years. So I guess while social media is around, but yeah, I mean, now it could have totally tripled. But it's interesting because it's the same thought often.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot of the time we keep saying the same thing. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. That thought could last a year. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh God, I'm so scared at work. I'm so anxious. That could last a year. So. Yeah.
One more thing.
Yeah, man.
Is there anything Jay Shetty hates?
Ooh, that's a great question. I need to give a good answer for that. Here, think about that. By dint of the answer I was going to give, I can't. So the answer is I don't. Because I think hate personally, collectively, individually doesn't lead to greatness. Mm-hmm. I've never seen hate lead to greatness. I've never seen hate lead to purpose. I've never seen hate lead to a positive outcome. And so I think hating anything is setting yourself up to never see the greatness, the goodness in it. And so I'd prefer not to hate anything.
What about The Notebook? You hate the Notebook.
I don't hate the Notebook, but I have thoughts about the Notebook, Charlamagne. I don't hate the Notebook. I find it hilarious as to how many, and I was like, I said, I'm a hopeless romantic. I've been like that my whole life because I grew up watching Hollywood movies thinking that that's how I was meant to fall in love. I was that dumb person who fell for that. And now I've read about something that they call Disney Princess Syndrome. Where people walk around like feeling like they're going to be saved by their partner. Like you're going to have a knight in shining armor who's going to come in and rescue you. And I think there's Disney Prince Syndrome as well, where we want to go and save someone and we want to be the be-all and end-all of everything. So The Notebook just has some really questionable lines where like Ryan Gosling's character says to Rachel McAdams' character, he'll say things like, oh, you know, I could be anything you want me to be. I'll be anything, right? We've heard that. But then the other thing is, she's on a Ferris wheel. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Ferris wheel, right? That's what you call it here
Ferris
as well?
Yeah, Ferris wheel.
I always have to check my British and American. But yeah, she's on the Ferris wheel. He's hanging off the Ferris wheel. And he goes, if you don't go on a date with me, I will fall. Like, I'll let go. That's really unhealthy. Like, that is really unhealthy. Like saying to someone, I'm going to commit suicide if you don't go out with me.
Yeah. Right.
And those, and we may think, oh, it's a movie, it doesn't matter. I know people who've heard that from people. Mm-hmm. I've had people who've stalked people, who've had people chase them down, who've said things like that to people. So
I'll kill myself if you leave me.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think we've got to be careful about these ideas. If you're watching his entertainment, it was really funny. I was talking to someone the other day and they were like, oh, I didn't sleep so well. And I was like, what did you watch last night? And they went, American Nightmare. And I was like, yeah, obviously. Oh. Like, what do you expect? So whenever anyone tells me they wake up with anxiety, the first question I say is, what did you watch last night? Mm-hmm. Because that is going to tell me what was in your brain. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't hate The Notebook.
You think it's a horror movie, though, is basically what
you're saying. It will make your life into a horror movie, for sure.
Well, Jay Shetty, ladies and gentlemen.
Where can they follow you, Jay? Tell them.
Come and check out the podcast On Purpose. It's where I'm pouring my heart and soul and, you know, excited to share so many more amazing, maybe thought-provoking, maybe even pushing you slightly conversations. So come and join us at On Purpose.
And his latest book was 8 Rules of Love. That came out last year. How to find it, keep it, and let it go.
Yes.
You got a new book coming? Or you just
No. I was just excited to be back with you and hanging. And actually, do you know what? Sometimes I love these conversations because I came here not knowing where it was going to go, and then you guys just guided beautifully. So this was wonderful, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Well, Jay Shetty, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen, and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.